Tell the students that the Holy Spirit's the teacher. And we don't do that to sound good. We don't do that to be impressive. Look how humble we are and so forth. The whole faculty buys into this. Preachers buy into this. But we stress that to them because only God can work on the inside of the heart. Only God can really do the work. And we are just vessels. We are just vessels. Our theme this year is all for the glory of God. And you hear that often. But for a theme, that means you get to emphasize it for an entire year. Because it's good for our fellowship to be reminded of that. We know that and we think that and so forth. And we want these preachers, these ladies, to have that inside of them. Now, I'm going to talk about that for a few minutes. And we got a verse that goes along with that. We have a banner that we do every year with a theme on it. But inside the school, right now on the screen as we use the chapel area over here, it says on one side all about him. On the other side, it says all for him. In the other building, there were two pillars. That was on the two pillars. And these students caught that. And as we got into the building and years ago and started using it and making it work, well, I came back out. I've been teaching for several years, but I came back out to run the school again in 2014. We put that on the pillars. And I knew it was catching on because I caught it in some of our early graduates. Tony Roa is a classic example. These men echo this. And one student said, "Brother Stewart, that's great. All about him, all for him." They named a county after him here in Texas, Van Zandt County, somewhere out here. He said, "That ought to say also all through him." Amen. It's not all about him. It's not all for him. It's all through him. I saw you a minute ago, Brother Van Zandt. Where'd you go? There he is, right back there. He's a church planter. It's pretty well established now in Rome, Texas. And so he knows what that's talking about, too. He's got a great wife and so many alumni, and we're certainly grateful and thankful for these. So if you guys could put that one slide back up there, it says all for the glory of God. I would greatly appreciate that. So that's saying the same thing that we've been saying to these students for years. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 11. And I want us to look at this verse because this is such a powerful verse. I talked to Brother Crawford, I talked to Brother Gillett, Brother Grice when we were laying out these themes for the year. And I said, "What do you think about this one?" And Brother Gillett says, "That says it all. That's what it's all about. All for the glory of God." And so that's up in front of us. And look at this passage. This verse just says it. There's a lot of verses you could go to. But when you're in the book of Romans, you're in the Bible in miniature. Yeah. Romans is such a complete condensation, a breaking down of the Bible into the whole message in one basic statement. It is the premier book of the Bible, very much thought so by many, and not to do anything against the others, but to bring it together. And it starts with creation, it ends with the glorious return of Christ and all that's going to happen and all the great people that helped Paul through the years. But look what it says in verse 36. All for the glory of God. And it's one thing to isolate this verse. It's another thing to read up to it. If we read Romans 1:1 up to this, the great 9, 10, and 11 chapters, where he talks about how Israel is being temporarily set aside so God would go to the world through the Gentiles, and Israel is going to be picked back up again in a wonderful way and used. But that whole sweep, he makes this statement. And it's talking about Christ especially, how God has revealed himself in Christ. But it says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Wow. I mean, you just camp out on that. And it was interesting that when our guest speaker saw that verse, he summarized it so well, 3 points there. I mean, this verse just says it all. And this seems very simple, but these men are in a stage and these ladies are in a stage where their heart is so tender, it's so impressionable. The Spirit of God's been working on their hearts. And I want to say 5 things to them very shortly and very pointedly, and to just let this sink into your hearts even more and to let it stay there. And we know these things to be true, and it can sound so pious, and we say so often it can sound like that ought to be said, but How deeply do we feel this? And I will say any right-thinking Christian and any right-thinking preacher can tell you the longer than the ministry, the longer serving God, it really is all for the glory of God. This school was started for the glory of God. This church was started for the glory of God. Everything we do, when we say the glory of God, we're kind of saying two things. We talk about giving God glory. We're talking about giving him credit, giving him honor, worshiping him. But when we talk about the glory of God, we're talking about who God is, what God is. And our God is a God of glory. It's God's nature to reveal himself. The Bible shows us several times that God is zealous. Not jealous. He is a jealous God, but he's zealous. God is excited about revealing himself to us. And you stop and think about it. We've got a lot of information today that generations didn't have. And they didn't have what we have at our fingertips. We know how vast this universe is. You don't have to go very far out in space to see a little blue marble we call the Earth. You go too much further out there, you just see a point of light. You go a little further, you don't see anything. You get so far out that you can't even see the Milky Way galaxy we're in. And by the way, if the Earth was as big as the Milky Way galaxy, you can get way out there and the Earth's nothing again. The vast universe. And yet God is vested in this Earth. Us. This is it. The first 3 days of creation, all there was the Earth. Think about that. Just the Earth. It was the fourth day that he created the sun and the moon, and he described them as they related to the earth, the greater light that rules the day, and the lesser light that rules the night, the moon. The sun and moon were made for the earth. The earth wasn't made for them. Yeah, we are rotating around the sun. We have a solar system, but this is it. When God created the sun, moon, and stars, listen to what he says. You know what it says when he made the stars? The Bible says, and he made the stars also. But he singled out the earth. This is what God's doing. We're not a hobby. We're not so that God comes by and checks on every once in a while. This is what God is doing. He's going to make a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. We are the object of God's constant attention and affection. Everyone in this room matters so much to him that he sent his son. A father sent his son. And by the way, it's not just a title. He's always had a son. He's always been a father. You matter so much to him, he gave us a parent-child relationship. The angels don't have a parent-child relationship. There's no female angels. The angels are created in mass immediately. They don't understand what it is to have brothers and sisters and parents and children. We do. We understand when my first child came along, I was thinking about this today when Brother Miller was preaching. When our first daughter was born, I was in there. I talked my wife and let me go in there. Sort of. She said, honey, I want you to be in there with me. I said, I'll be close by. You know, I don't know. It was a few years ago. I'm 39 plus. It just was kind of a new thing, as he was talking about today. And finally, I thought, you know, I'm tired of telling her, no, I can't do it. No, I can't do it. I thought, I've got this figured out. I'm going to tell her, okay, we'll go to the classes. Because the classes were designed to finish about 5 or 6 weeks before the baby was due. And that way, I'll just have to say no for 4 or 5 weeks. The time I got done with the classes, I wanted to be in there. In fact, I just told the doctor, move over, I'll take care of this. No, not really. So I'm in there. And I'll tell you what, it was amazing. When they handed me that little baby girl, I was scared to death. I was proud. I was emboldened. I was humbled. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. Somebody came up to H.A. Arnside one time and said, Dr. Arnside, I cannot understand the virgin birth of Christ. How could that be? He said, sir, I don't understand the normal, natural birth. How can that be? Amen? Every person, Psalm 139 says that the infinite one's involvement is on an individual basis. You are no accident. God created us for his glory. And Satan tries to steal that glory. That's why he lost heaven. He wanted that glory. There are two characters in the Old Testament that really, I think, stand out above all others that misunderstood this, and I'm not going to have you turn there. because there are some other things to get on with tonight. The rapture could happen before they get their diplomas. I don't believe in setting dates, but it could happen. Amen. We believe in imminent return of Christ. There'll probably be a graduation going on somewhere when it happens. But what I want you to think about is a king named Nebuchadnezzar. He is looked upon as being responsible for one of the great seven wonders of the ancient world. By the way, I got a little input on that. As great as those seven wonders are, you go back and study them, they were pretty amazing. But they were not as amazing as Solomon's temple. You want to see an ancient wonder? You want to see a wonder of the ancient world? Solomon's temple. I mean, just the architecture was amazing, gold everywhere, but the glory of God dwelled in the temple. The glory of God. God made such a localized expression. That's the greatest wonder of the ancient world. But Nebuchadnezzar was warned by Daniel and said, listen, king, you're walking some thin ice. You've had a lot of information. God's revealed himself to you in a lot of ways. And he warned him and told him, you know, you need to be more humble and so forth. And it's very involved. But just to bring it right to our forefront, this is probably the premier one of the Old Testament to me. One day Nebuchadnezzar walked out there, kind of forgot about what Daniel told him about, breaking off his sins and so forth. Can you imagine Daniel being in such a position to tell Nebuchadnezzar, one of the most famous but vicious rulers at that time, the Babylonian Empire? He said, you got to change the way you're looking at things, etc. And God had revealed dreams. God had done so many great things. Well, one day, he got the beautiful city of Babylon built. He had the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the great wonders of the ancient world. He walked out there one day, and he said, look what I have done. Look at this beautiful place that I have made. You know what happened? He was turned into a wild man for 7 years. You got his testimony in here. It's very possible we'll see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven. We can't be dogmatic, but when you read what happened from Genesis 1 to chapter 4, you go to Jeremiah and see what's going on with Nebuchadnezzar, he may have indeed gotten saved because he writes this as a testimony. And God restored him when he looked up and said, God, I spoke foolishly, so to speak. Here's an unsaved man who did not give God the glory. How much more so for a preacher of the gospel? How much more for ladies that have been taught what you've been taught, not just in the school, but in your churches and in your families and so forth? The second one I think of is Herod. There were a lot of Herods, so I'm just going to say Herod in Acts chapter 12. We won't turn there right now, but he gave a great speech, had a beautiful robe on, and he's all set up for it. And he gives such a wonderful speech. And by the way, he had killed James, and he was going to kill Peter. And he was full of himself. I remember Dr. Barber said years ago, a man wrapped up in himself makes a mighty small package. This guy thought he was something. He gave a great speech, a great oration, and the people start saying, he speaks like a god. You know what happened? The Bible says he was eaten by worms. Read it. It's there in chapter 12. It's a shocking passage. So here's one that jumps off the page in the Old Testament, Nebuchadnezzar, and here's a Herod that jumps off the page. And I just want to say to you tonight, and I say to me, I say to all of us, the longer you live, and one of the reasons you go through trials and tribulations, one some of the times you face your own weaknesses, is just to remind you of who we really are and who God is. God's not about putting us down. He's not here to put us down. But just stop to think how great God is, a God of glory. I share this story in the Searchlight. It just takes a few moments, but I want to set this in front of us before I give you these five things real quick. And it's about this elephant and this mouse. If some of you read the Searchlight, you'll know what I'm talking about. I read this years ago. And this elephant and mouse, they were good friends. And one day they crossed over a wide river on a sufficiently sturdy but somewhat loose suspension bridge. Once across, the mouse, who was riding atop the large elephant, looked back and saw the bridge was still swaying because that elephant walking like this. He looked back and he saw it still swaying, and he said to his friend, the elephant, look what we did. Look what we did. Now, how many think the mouse did that? How many think the elephant did it? How many think God's like the elephant and we're like the mouse? That's not humble. That's fact. We are co-laborers together. That doesn't mean we just acknowledge that it's God's work. We want to be a part of it. God lets us be a part of it. God wants us to be a part of it. And it's beyond that. It becomes not just God's heart. It becomes your heart. It becomes your desire. You want to be co-laborers with God because that's what really matters. God's glory. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in that passage in Romans, it's talking about his righteousness. You have to understand that, or Christ really, it doesn't make any sense that he came and lived a life without sin and then died for our sins. We have to see just how glorious God is. Now, let me talk about five things for just a few moments, and let's just think about this. And I just wanted to set that up and get this in front of you. Number one, why are we saying all for the glory of God? Well, first of all, the verse we read, for of him and through him and to him are all things. And all means all. That's all that all means, so to speak. Remember Dr. Barber saying that through the years, Worth Baptist Church? Number one, because it's the right pursuit for all of us. All for the glory of God. The church at Corinth, Paul said, your glorying is not good. If you want to study the glory of God and how we should do it as a church, read 1st and 2nd Corinthians. It's all for the glory of God. What we eat or drink or whatever we do is for the glory of God. And again, that sounds right. That sounds good. But just stop and think. It's the right thing to do. It's the right place to give it, to give God due credit. Years ago, my brother said to me, he said, you know, God, it must be an amazingly, and he is, a holy, pure being. Because he's constantly being worshipped by seraphim. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. We're to give God all the glory. You know what that does to a human being when you give them glory and worship and honor nonstop? It destroys them. It destroys them. Satan wanted it. Look what it did to him. Why doesn't that constant glory, that worship, that honor, why doesn't that destroy God? Because it's right. It's who God is. God rightfully deserves it. He's not egocentric. Do you know what righteousness really is in the Bible? It's loving others as yourself. When God gave us the Ten Commandments, he was giving us 10 examples of loving others as ourselves. Stealing's not just wrong because God said so. Stealing's wrong because I love myself more than the person I'm stealing from. God's law is not just that he's boss and he can tell you what should be. God's own nature is he loves us as much as he loved himself. Remember, the law is reduced down to one thing. As you would have men do unto you, do you also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. What if everybody on this planet loved others as much as they loved themselves? Wouldn't this be a wonderful place to be? That's the problem. But because God loves us as much as he loves himself, the law maker became the law keeper for the law breakers. Amen. The covenant maker became the covenant keeper for the covenant breakers. And by the way, that was the covenant. He promised he would come and undo what Adam did. Amen. God loves you as much as he loves himself. As great as the Ten Commandments are, the Bible says the greatest demonstration of God's love, his righteousness in Romans 3, is Christ. Christ came down here and lived for 33 and a half years for others. Never had a simple thought, never did a sinful deed. And then he went to the cross for us. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's no greater love than the love of God, amen? That's how pure he is. He deserves, he is the rightful place for us to give glory. Amen? Amen? And then we go on and say, number two, with what I've said and looking at these passages, let's take that just another step for just a moment. It's only rational. It's the only rational pursuit. If of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever, that's a rational statement. It makes sense. It's not just right. You just don't step back and say that's the right thing to do. It is the most clear thinking conclusion you can come to. There is no other reason to have a marriage. There's no other reason to do what we're doing and raise children, but to do it for the glory of God. Amen. It's rational. It's the most intellectual, the most logical thing you could possibly do. God made everything, and he made everything for us to enjoy. Now follow me here, because we're going to go a little further into this, and it's going to start making a little bit more impact, I believe. To do otherwise, because it's rational, is to be irrational. It causes confusion. God said, I will not give my glory to another. Now think about that a minute. Great prophet Isaiah. I will not give my glory to another. Why would God say that? Why would God not give his glory to another? Because his glory is the reference point for all right thinking. Who God is and what God is, that's the reference point. How do we realize we're sinners? Looking at God's righteousness. All of sin comes short of the righteousness of God. The Jewish people as a whole, thank God individual Jews weren't always this way, just like the Gentiles. They didn't realize how righteous God was. They tried to establish their own righteousness. Jesus Christ didn't lay his life down on the cross at that time, didn't lay his life down just on the cross. He laid his life down for 33 and a half years. I do always those things that please him. It is the reference point for all right thinking, and God must be a steward of his own glory. The reason he will not give his glory to another, because that would confuse us. We have to have something to look to get through this life and know which way to go and how to live. God's a person. He has an intellect, emotions, and feeling. He created us in his image. We're morally aware creatures. Wow. It's the right thing. It's the rational thing. And it is your reference point. Your reference point. The ministry starts to wobble a little bit. You're starting to wobble a little bit. Things aren't kind of going the way you want it to go in some areas of your life. Back up. What's my motive? What am I doing? And by the way, God is a fascinating person. God is a fascinating being. You can spend your entire life studying him and thinking on him and worshiping him. Oh, that's what it's about. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that in the ages to come, God's going to reveal his loving kindness toward us in the person of Christ. You know, Christ is the express image of his glory. You want to know what God's really like? Look at Jesus Christ. Wow, what a person. He had time for everybody. One person, the whole crowd. Was there anybody like Jesus Christ before? Wow, God with skin on, so to speak. He entered the human race. Number four, it's the right thing. It's the rational thing. It's your reference point. And here's why. It'll reduce pride in your life. This church is here tonight because of God's faithfulness. God uses people. But we're the mouse. He's the elephant. Aren't you glad the mouse and the elephant were friends? Aren't you glad that we could be friends? There's a friend that's sticking closer to a brother. Christ is our big brother. He's our shepherd. He's our God. He's everything. This world makes no sense if you get off of what this is saying. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He created us for his pleasure. God enjoys you. He likes to hear from you. Wow. If you will serve for the glory of God, criticism won't hurt as much. People letting you down won't hurt as much. Challenges, if it's all for the glory of God and not our glory. We can't let others put us and God together and say, well, I did it and God did it. You know about that guy that wouldn't go to church for years and the preacher went by to see him many times and so forth and just couldn't get him to go and he'd go out and visit him and so forth. And this guy had bought some property and decided he was going to make a nice little farm out of it, and it had rocks in it and it had all kinds of trees and just all kinds of stuff. And this guy went out there and cleared the trees and cleared the rocks and worked that thing. And he finally got it to where it was producing crops, doing well. The preacher went out to see him one day and said, wow, this is really nice. This is really nice. He said, yeah, I've really done, it's really a wonderful thing. And the preacher said, well, you know, well, let's just thank God for this. This is wonderful what God's done. He said, God didn't do this. I did this. I took the stones out of here. I got the trees out of here. I broke up the ground. I planted the crop. And the man said, who made the ground? Who made the seed? Who made the sun? Who made the water? Who gave you strength? Who gave you life? And the guy said, well, I kind of see what you're talking about. Amen? Amen. It seems so basic. But the reason this is emphasized in school so much, we get up in front of people, we serve, we do our best, we're out there, but you remember, we're the mouse, God's the elephant. It's all about him. It's all for him. The world doesn't need Jonathan Stewart. The world needs Jesus Christ. It needs Jesus Christ through Jonathan Stewart, and unfortunately, Jonathan Stewart gets in the way so many times. But God's big enough, he can burn wet wood. Amen? Ask Elijah. If you will live for the glory of God, if you'll preach, if you'll build, you go forward, if you'll teach for the glory of God, it'll reduce, it'll limit the pride that can come into your life. We'll never completely always have our pure motive because we've got that fallen nature, and that fallen nature, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The three things God said. You know, by the way, pride makes God sick. Seven things God hates. Pride, amen? Satan fell because of pride. Humble. You all know the story about the guy that was so humble they gave him a medal. They gave him an award, a medal, for his humility. He started wearing it. They took it away from him. I've heard that 100 times. It's so true. You can preach a message like this and be full of pride. It's just there. You ever had a faucet that you couldn't quite crank down to where it wouldn't keep dripping? You turned it and it was kind of just a slow drizzle. So you really cranked down and it was psh, psh. So you kind of knew at this. You don't remember what Dad did, but you're pretty clever. So you got a washcloth. You stick it in there, underneath there. You don't hear it. Just about the time you're ready to go to sleep again, because that washcloth is wet. So you get a towel, okay? You'll never crank it down so much where there's not a little drip, a little stream. Just be careful. It's all about him. It's all for him. I close with this thought. All for the glory of God. That should be our rallying cry. That ought to be our rallying proclamation. That's why it's our theme this year. Brother Joseph, that's what it's all about. The students have been told this and told this and told this. It's on the pillars. And we want to make a mark on their life. A lot of pride in this world, and it doesn't work in the ministry. When we see it in our lives, when you say, oh, God, I see it. Don't have to wear me out. I got it, God. I see it. It's our rallying cry. It's all about him. It's all for him. All for the glory of God. The Bible says that creation declares, the heavens declare the glory of God. The seraphim are going, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Christ is the express image of his glory. It's all through the Bible. All for the glory of God. You can build a life on that. You can build a marriage on it. Our marriage is to glorify God. You can build a family on that. You can raise children. It's all about the glory of God. All for the glory of God. You can build a livelihood on it. Boy, there are some great Christian businessmen down through time. By the way, God gave us one. Gave us a building. Sold it to us for $500,000. No interest. We paid on it for 2 years and he just gave it to us. We sold that building. We built the other land. We owed $1.3 million after buying the land and building that building. We got it paid down $800,000. That same man wrote us a check, $840,000. We sold that property for $5 million. That's why we're doing what we're doing today. You know what that guy would tell you? Give God the glory. Who gave that guy a chance to do the work? Who blessed that guy's business? who loved the Norris Bible Baptist Seminary and wanted to see preachers, missionaries, missionary wives and preachers' wives and evangelists, wanted to see them trained. Who got excited when the school went back to just especially training preachers again? Thank God for the ministry we're involved with other men. Brother Knickerbocker is a wonderful man. He's been a blessing to many of us. I got to know Dr. Sexton, et cetera. We're all on the same team, amen? And there's a lot of good that came out of that. But it was all for the glory of God, amen? You can build a church on this all for the glory of God. Think how few our problems be in our church if it was all for the glory of God. If we went to church to be a blessing and to bring God glory, we'd go home happy. But when you come to church to be blessed and somebody doesn't shake your hand, you go home sad. God is, when I say the glory of God, I don't just mean give God the glory. I'm talking about a God who has expressed himself in every way in this living museum of his attributes we call creation. He's everywhere. The songwriters tell us about it. And you know what? You could build a ministry on that. Have you enjoyed the Johnson family singing? I mean, I've enjoyed it for years, but I mean, some of those songs they were singing, some of that. God came up with the idea of music. Who created all the birds, all the trees? Who created all this beauty? What a God we serve. God wants mouthpieces calling attention to who and what he is so people would desire him and get their eyes off the shams of this life. We need preachers who live and preach for the glory of God. Build churches. You can build a seminary on that. That's what we're trying to do. Amen, Brother Roa? Brother Roa caught that. He caught that. And to the glory of God. That's the work of God in my heart. Your heart. I'm not here tonight because I'm anything special. God's done enough to my heart that I want to live for the glory of God. But I've come to realize through the years to not do so is a waste. Amen. So I say to you students tonight, it's all about him. It's all for him. I wanted to go all the way from my notes. The Spirit was just pushing me all over the place. I guess it was the Holy Spirit. All. He said, well, I can't do that. The little boy walks out in the backyard. He's got his little air gun. He's shooting at the moon. It's an air gun. Nothing's coming out. And his friend says, you'll never hit the moon that way. I'm getting closer than you are. If you aim for it, you'll do better. Don't let what you can't do keep you from what you can do. All for the glory of God. Don't shrink because you can't do it to the nth degree. Do it to the degree you can do it. Amen. What a blessing to lead somebody to Christ, see him begin to grow and mature in the Lord, and then seeing him in the choir singing, to God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave his son. And then you see him teaching a Sunday school class. Then you see that family begin to live for God. You see a church begin to go forward. Pretty soon they're enrolled at seminary and they're preparing to be missionaries in Norway. Amen? Amen. I could have just got up here and read that verse and probably would have been a whole lot better, but let me just tell you something. Try to remember by the Holy Spirit writing on your heart. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee. That's what Jesus told Peter. And Jesus is a pretty good teacher. God, my Father which is in heaven, may God put on your heart and my heart, all of our hearts. It's all for the glory of God. When we get away from that, we've lost the reference point. Amen.